Hello, hello, and welcome to Pish Posh with Lindsay Wilson, a podcast about prioritizing passion. Each week, we cover topics in the personal development space, including things like money, finance, business, entrepreneurship, mindset, and seriously, whatever else I'm feeling extra passionate about that week. These conversations are meant to encourage you to prioritize your passion. Welcome to the party. I'm so glad you're here. Let's get into it. Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Pish Posh with Lindsay Wilson. I am back with KCB this week, and we are going to talk about gatekeeping. So we'll do our normal toast and roast, talk about our highs and lows of the week, and then I have a really good podcast recommendation, and then talking about gatekeeping. So hold your horses on that. KCB, we had Valentine's Day, we had the snow. What was your toast from the last week?
Oh, man. I just keep on thinking of more and more toasts for this week. It's been a good week, I feel like.
Lots of toasts.
Lots of toasts.
You know what? I'm going to let you have two toasts.
Two toasts? So my first toast was, it was a work-related one. And so I've been doing all these little projects, and I successfully wired up some lights and did some electrical work, which I do not like to do very much.
Why is that a toast then?
Well, because I did it. It feels good when it's like you flip on the switch, everything works, and it's like we pretty much have like stadium lights in the yard now.
I'm so proud of you.
And
I kept saying I don't think you know how to do that. And then you proved me wrong.
I did it. And then the other project was we cut out a hole in the wall of our break room. And we're turning that into a kind of like walk-up order-taking place.
A window. Like they have at a coffee stand.
Yeah, pretty much. And yeah, so I took that out and reframed it and put it in a window, and it makes me happy doing that kind of stuff, so that was sweet. And then Valentine's Day and the day before, just hanging out with you, and then cooking a good steak on Valentine's Day. That mm-hmm. was, yep. Those are just a good 2 days, and then it's been a good couple days at work, too, so.
It was such a good weekend. We never have a three-day weekend together. Because you normally work on Saturdays. I normally work on Mondays. It was a three-day weekend for me. And then you got snowed out of work. So we got to hang out for 3 days in a row at home in the snow. We got about a foot of snow in Gig Harbor. It was amazing. Oops. I was so happy about the snow.
It was a good time.
I wish it snowed like that more often. But unfortunately, it does not. I always wanted to live somewhere where you like, I don't know how many places in America are like this, but maybe only like North Dakota and Alaska, but somewhere where you, like could take your snowmobile to go out to dinner and go back home. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, let's just jump on the sled, bud.
So that's, I've always wanted to do that. So maybe someday when I'm old and gray, but... So my toast, oh my gosh, like you said, there's just so much good stuff, but I have to share that movie that we watched.
Oh, that was a good one.
So there's a movie, it's on HBO Max right now. I don't know if it's available other places, but I think it is. And it's called Irresistible, and it has Steve Carell in it, and it's about politics, but it's just a complete, what's the word, dear? Not a satire, but kind of like a satire, I guess. It's just making fun of politics as a whole.
It's just roasting.
And it makes fun of both sides. And at the beginning, I was like, oh, this might lean like one way or the other, like a certain style of political humor. And sometimes it's not very funny if that's like not your style of humor, not your style of politics. But it just got everybody on all sides, and at the end, oh my gosh, it's the best ending to a movie I have seen in years, and I was literally clapping my hands. I was like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe that just happened. So you guys need to watch this movie, Irresistible. Oh My goodness.
I was so stoked with the ending. I'm like, yes! Yes!
It was amazing. It was amazing. So, I don't know. If I can't think of anybody who would not like that, but if you don't like the ending, you probably won't get along with me very well. So that's really my toast was that movie because I just had to share it. Do you have a good roast to share?
My roast would be from this morning, first thing in the morning. We had a protective cage so people didn't break into the office and the window I was cutting out. And
Did somebody break in?
they did a long time ago before I worked there, but they
Oh.
have these things called security screws
Yeah.
that you can't take out
Yeah.
without a special tool. And I thought I had the bit to do it, and I did not. So I'm like, well, screw it. I'm
Screw
just gonna
it.
use the I'm gonna
Did
use the angle grinder and cut all these screws out.
it? Screw
Yeah.
it. You didn't laugh.
And so it started on the first one. It's like sun's just coming up, and got through it, and I popped the head of the screw into my hood, and it went onto my neck and down my neck. And if you've never used an angle grinder to cut something
I
before,
don't think anyone who's listening has used an angle grinder to cut
some people
something
have,
before.
but it gets really, whatever you're cutting gets so freaking hot. And yeah, so it went up against my neck, burnt my neck really bad. Everyone at work's like, you look like you're branded now.
Didn't even get to look at it. Let's see here. Oh,
Yeah,
ew. It's
it's
gross.
bad. Like, Chris walked into the break room. He's like, man, it smells like something's like dead over here. And I'm like, no, I just had a freaking glowing hot head of a bolt go into my beard, then down my neck. Like,
Oh
that's
my
just
gosh.
me, but I'm sorry.
So what have we learned since this is a personal development podcast?
Oh, not to do that again.
Be prepared, have your tools.
I had my tools.
Well, why did this happen then?
Don't know. It just happens. I should have had my coat zipped up all the way around my neck, I guess.
Always wear closed-toed shoes and sunglasses.
Proper protection with you got to use the proper PPE.
PPE,
Yep.
theme of the year. Oh my gosh. So, good roast. You were literally roasted.
I was.
Okay.
First thing in the morning, too. It's like, what the hell?
Okay. I felt like I had something earlier in the week that was like a major roast, and I cannot remember it. So, I have another one. Do you remember what my major roast was? If it comes to you, you gotta let me know. But I had a roast, and this was when it snowed. Casey and I went on a walk, and whatever. That doesn't really have anything to do with it, but we saw this happen on our walk, but it happens all the time. These people who drive around with all of their snow on the top of their car or on the hood of their car and on the top of the roof of their car. And sometimes the worst kind of people are the ones that only dig out a tiny little area for where they see, not even in front of like on the windshield, in front of the passenger side. Like they don't even do that side. Oh my God, these people. So I don't understand the stupidity. I just do not. And like I would have done something like this when I was in high school. If it's like, oh, I have all this snow, nothing's gonna happen. Who cares? But it can fall off, especially this. Oh my God, the truck that did it.
This is probably like a 2-year-old
It was like a normal sized truck,
nice
full size is what I'm trying to say.
GMC.
It wasn't like a little baby truck. It was a full size regular truck, and it had a giant pack of snow on the roof of it and on the hood of it. And then, so it turns the corner and has to stop in the street, get out of the car, and wipe the stuff off of his car because he can't see. Like, why did you do that before you freaking left? Like, it makes no sense. Now you're stopping in the middle of the street, then people have to go around your truck to get anywhere on a snow-packed road. I was so mad at this man. And I literally said out loud when he was out of his car, I just was like, oh my God, this guy. And then, oh, and I said, and he didn't have his flashers on. And I said, and he didn't even put his flashers on. I was so mad. Oh my God, these people. And then we saw it again when we were driving on the highway the next day. More snow had melted. But at this point, it's melting off of the cars. And people are driving, and then these big chunks fall off. It goes, and it could fall on another car, and then they can't see. It could hurt their car if it goes on the windshield or something. Like, these people, this is dumb. This is my public service announcement. Get the snow off of your car before you drive. It's not that hard. What do you have anything else to say?
What irritated me the most about that guy is he gets out of his car all
There was no
lackadaisical,
sense of
or out of his
urgency.
truck, and he just strolls over to the back door, opens it up, grabbed something out of there, just taking a sweet
Oh my
ass
God.
time. It's like
Nothing
went
bothers
through a
you and me
full.
more than a lack of a sense of urgency. Like, I was about to get over there and wipe it off because this other car is stopped behind him trying to get somewhere. And you can't just pass somebody in the snow. And oh my God, it made me
Well,
so mad.
it went through a full light cycle while he was
He was not,
like,
there was no
he
sense of
wasn't even
urgency.
doing
He
it.
was walking super slowly. Like, what are you doing? Oh my God. And his truck had snow all over it. Like, I understand slightly if you can't reach the roof, but if you're not going to get it off the hood, I don't think you need to drive anywhere.
I couldn't reach the roof of my truck and I figured it out.
Like, oh
I
my
couldn't,
God.
the canopy, because my canopy was still covered in snow, and I was like, yeah, I can't get this. I'm like, what can I do? It's like, I don't want this shit on here.
It's such a, like, and you said it. You're like, this is like what you beg your mom to do when you're in elementary school. So when she drops you off, somebody, you're like, look how much snow is at my house. Like,
Exactly.
if you're a grown ass adult doing this, like, oh my God, just stay home. I cannot.
It's like, I remember back when I lived in, where, yeah, back when I was living in PA, I never really thought of it because I had a 5 mile drive down the hill. We always had snow. So by the time I got to the bottom of the hill, it would either slide off already or blow off or just
Well,
something. But I mean, yeah.
you should have wiped it off on your own. But you're a high schooler, not a grown man.
Well,
Also, if you can
that
afford a $50,000 truck, maybe you should take care of
Yeah,
it.
that is also
God,
true.
Jesus
That was more than a
Christ.
$50,000 truck. That thing was freaking nice.
Whatever. Whatever. These people. I understand people don't know what to do because it doesn't snow here, but it's just dumb. Just don't be dumb.
Pull yourself together.
Pull your head out of your ass. Okay, so that concludes Toast and Roast, I think. And I gotta suggest this podcast. I just started listening to it this week, and it's one that I've been wanting to listen to for a while. If you guys are newer to the podcast, sometimes I suggest other podcasts to listen to because I'm a lover of the art. So this one is with two comedians, Chris DiStefano and then Sal Vulcano, who is one of the Impractical Jokers. So I think a ton of people have seen Impractical Jokers. It's hilarious. And so they are both from New York and they're just so funny. And they have the exact same level of energy, which I love. And it's not my kind. I mean, sometimes I have this style of energy. This is the opposite of Casey's energy because
What?
they're like these high energy New Yorkers and they'll interrupt each other in 5 minutes and, babe, you got to hear about this. So, did I tell you about this one time? They're like Italian, New Yorker history. Like, the way that they talk about things, I just really enjoy it. And I really enjoy the energy and their dynamic. So, it's called Hey Babe. And it's with Sal Vulcano. I have a struggle saying his name. And then Chris DiStefano. But it's really good. It's another one of those ones that you can watch on YouTube as well. They are just so funny. And they have some like little clips too. It's really funny because we just watched the clip the other day. One of the guys thought that it was tub-o-ware. He was just like talking about Tupperware. He goes, I have this tub-o-ware.
Yeah, it's a
And
Tupperware.
then he's like, hold on, hold on. What did you just say? They're just so funny. So, that podcast is called Hey Babe. It's really funny. That's my suggestion for the week. So, the last thing I want to talk about, I talk about this for a while by myself, but I wanted to talk to you about it as well before we get into it, about gatekeeping. So, if somebody is not like in my age group, I don't think they're really familiar with this term. I think it's a newer term. And so I wanted to know if you knew what gatekeeping was, Casey.
No.
What do you think it is?
Honestly, the first thing I thought of when you said gatekeep, we're going to talk about gatekeeping was oh, what's that movie? Ghostbusters. The old
Why?
Ghostbusters. Well, because there's the gatekeeper.
Oh, I don't know. See, now the people in the other generation are saying, "What? She doesn't know the
The gatekeeper. I think that was Ghostbusters 2. Maybe it was. No, it was one. I don't remember.
So it's really funny because we're only 2.5 years apart, but the way you act and interact, it's like we're from two separate generations, even though we're not. Like,
Yep.
Casey doesn't have an Instagram. You just got a TikTok just to watch things, but don't really know how to use any of these things.
No.
Rarely go on Facebook. Like, I was thinking about it today about how glad I am that you don't have an Instagram, just because it's like a whole piece of your personality to not have one at this point, if that makes sense. Like,
Yeah, I just don't want one.
and it's just such a waste of time, and I love it, but it would not bring you any joy. So, anyways, gatekeeping, I talk about it, but there's kind of like three different kinds. One of the things that millennials, Gen Z, all the people, the youngins are talking about with gatekeeping is kind of the idea of people saying, when they kind of talk down to you when you're just getting into something. So we all know somebody who does this. So like if you were a gatekeeper in air quotes, which you're not, and I was trying to go skiing, you'd be like, "Oh, well, I don't know. Like you if you don't know how to do this run, I don't really know if it's even worth it for you to come," or stuff like that. Does
Well,
that make
that's,
sense?
yeah, I know people like that.
Yeah, and I think I've shown you the videos I talk about this, the girl on TikTok with all like the hiking stuff. Oh my God. And then like mountain biking, like, oh, that's the bike I had when I was a beginner, but now I'm like this. Like, you know what I mean?
It's, yeah.
There are so many of those people.
It's.
And I talk a lot about like they call it like granola, but I talk a lot about like hiking and whatever, but these people exist in every different facet of life, I would say.
L.A.
Yeah. You haven't had tacos until you've had tacos from LA.
Have you went hiking before? Oh, you never went hiking until you went hiking L.A.
So, yeah. So Casey just thinks LA people are all gatekeepers, but you know what I'm saying. So that's one kind of version. The other version is that there's people who kind of say like with fans of music and stuff, or I see this in sports where they're like, "Oh, you don't know these stats," or name 10 songs by them if you say that you like, you know, Nirvana so much or anything like that. So what do you think about that version?
I don't like it. I feel like it's like just somebody trying to make themselves feel more like powerful, I guess.
Cooler.
Cooler. Yeah, for no real reason. I mean, I'm sure they have their own insecurities and such, but I mean, I can say I maybe used to be like that a little bit,
Right, it's a very
but
immature thing to do.
yeah, it's now it's like I'm gonna be like, dude, I'll show you this. I'll show you this. If you don't like, that's fine.
Yeah. And then so I'm not going to interject my opinion because I go into that in a second, but the last type that I kind of go in on is the gatekeepers in the professional world. So like a publishing house where people can self-publish now, or like Netflix when you can put your own stuff up on YouTube and stuff now. So that's a whole nother version. And I kind of also talked about things like having to sell like an actual product somewhere where you can do it like on Facebook Marketplace now and stuff like that. So do you have any thoughts on that one?
No, I'm gonna have to ponder that one. I'm sorry.
So that's an introduction to gatekeeping to KCB because he doesn't know the term. I don't know how many of you guys who are listening know the term, but I'm going to dive deep into it. I'm kind of going to go over those three different examples again and get definitely deeper than we just did. But if I repeat examples that I just did with Casey in this next part, sorry in advance, but it's a way to explain things. So I hope you enjoy this. Don't be an asshole, and I'll be right back. And we're back. I am back, and this week I wanted to talk about gatekeeping, which has a couple different meanings. So just to get started, there are two kinds of gatekeeping that I am kind of aware of. Number one is gatekeeping in the sense that it is, we'll just use the Urban Dictionary definition because they're usually pretty good at defining what the kids are talking about. Urban Dictionary defines gatekeeping as when someone takes it upon themselves to decide who does or does not have access or rights to a community or identity. So that sounds really serious, but what I think we see it more as is in a kind of a fandom, a culture, a subset of people who enjoy a specific hobby. There is a girl on TikTok who does a lot of videos that I think are really funny that kind of show a kind of granola hiker style person who is very, we'll say they look down on beginners. So I think we all know these kind of people. When you try something new or you're just getting into something like hiking or biking or skiing or anything, I'm using all these outdoor things because it's just very relevant, but where they say, oh, you're using those. Oh, you're renting your skis. Oh, you haven't been on this trail yet. Oh, well, last time I was here, it was like this. I've done this 10 times. I've done this run 10 times down the hill. You're only doing the magic carpet. You don't know how to go down a black diamond. Wow. So that is kind of my impression of that sort of gatekeeper. And I think we can apply this to a lot of different activities that we do in our lives. Another thing is when you think about it, like fandoms, there are some people who consider gatekeeping to be, I think a really good example also is when people will wear a band t-shirt, like let's say a Nirvana shirt, and then somebody says, name me a Nirvana song. Why are you wearing that? So that one, I'm going to be honest, I kind of agree with, like, why are you wearing a shirt or something, like a band that you don't know about? That's just my opinion. Maybe the Gen Z thinks I'm a gatekeeper and I'm not a nice person. I don't know. But the thing that also comes with like fandoms, kind of relates to what I was talking about with sports last week or the week before when I did a little talk about women in sports, where people will say, oh, you're a fan of this sports teams? Well, what are their stats? Name me 10 players on their team. Tell me who was riding the bench last week. Did you watch the game last night? Who scored the winning, like, every single stat? Like, people will ask you that specific stuff just to make somebody else feel inferior in their enjoyment of something. So this is kind of part one of gatekeeping. I wanted to talk about that kind of being a not so great thing. I don't like that people do that. And then there's another side of gatekeeping, which is in the business and creative side of things. And that kind of goes towards like a gatekeeper would be a traditional pathway, a traditional thing that you have to go through to have access to something in business or in the creative field. So things that I would think about, two examples I'll say are a book publisher. Oh, a while ago, there was not such a thing as self-publishing, or you could self-publish, but then you'd kind of be stuck. Another thing you could talk about are like videos. You know, before YouTube, I don't really know exactly how people would get this kind of content out there. You'd have to go get approved by a TV station and get hired and all that kind of stuff. There are so many new ways that people can produce their own content. A really good example that I want to harp on is with stand-up comedy. I feel like I talk about stand-up comedy all the time, but there are stand-up comedians who are self-producing their own specials and putting them on YouTube now. And the only monetization they're getting that is from the views and the ads that come through on YouTube. Whereas previously, people would have to wait to get a spot on Letterman to be noticed. And then to get a special, they have to get approved by Netflix or HBO or something like that. And so if somebody has their special ready to go and Netflix says no, Hulu says no, HBO says no, Amazon Prime says no, they still have this. And I'm just really inspired that people will just say, you know, I'm putting it out there. This is going to reach more people, and this is what I'm going to do. And they are ignoring those kind of gatekeepers of the industry. So those are kind of the two separate gatekeeping areas that I wanted to talk about. So number one side is kind of in the hobbies, creative, and then also the fandom, and then the gatekeeping in a professional and a creative sense. So I want you to think about a time when you wanted to try something new. We'll say an activity because that is kind of something that I think a lot of people will try new things, like a sport or painting or hiking. I just keep going back to like the outdoor activities, mostly because I've seen a lot of people make fun of the style of people who think they're so cool. But it can also be things like working out, going to the gym. Oh, that's a big one. Dieting. You know, I could talk to somebody. I've had this podcast now for a while, and I could hear somebody say, you know, I'm thinking about starting a podcast, and be like, oh my God, really? I've been doing a podcast for a year, and like, I don't know how it's gonna go for you. What's your website domain? How's like, and I could just go deep into all of this stuff that I know about this industry, whereas somebody who's just getting started, I would ask them that stuff or talk to them like that, and that's just really discouraging. So, I want you to think of a time where that situation has happened to you. I don't know how often it happens for adults. I think it depends on the circle of people you're with, but I know it happened a lot in high school and college even. And then when that happens repeatedly in those years when you're trying to like try new things, it's the time when you're supposed to try new things, and then people will talk down to you, and then it kind of suppresses your want to try new things. And I get that too. I'm think, oh my God, I'm not gonna try that because I don't know. I don't know. I don't know where to start, or I don't want to be a beginner. And we have to be a beginner. Even those people who are talking down about whatever it is, maybe they started when they're 3 years old and they know exactly how to do whatever it is they're talking about, and they have all this experience, like they still started out somewhere. They're still a beginner. And I just see it a lot online, on social media. I see it in real life. Like, I think about it. I recently told Casey, I think it'd be really fun if we went to one of those climbing gyms, like the Rock Walls, because there's one in Tacoma on our drive to work. And I think, oh, that would be so fun. But I get nervous to even ask people, like, what do I do? Because I'm nervous to see if they're like, oh, you don't know what kind of shoes you're supposed to get. You don't know. Like, asking those questions is scary when there are people out there who will say, oh my God, it's a beginner. Here we go. So just don't be that person. That's advice number one. Just try not to be that person. And when those things do happen to you, just try to brush it off because those people are just unhappy. Then we get into like the fandom ship and being, you know, a fan. I see it a lot in music and sports, like I said. I want to be the person who is very open and is like, oh, you started listening to them too? Like, we'll say my favorite band, me and Casey both love the Glorious Suns. They're a band from Canada. They're not super popular in the United States yet, but they're going to be huge. They are going to be the next just giant rock and roll band. They're amazing. But there is a sense of pride that comes with being an OG, an original fan of something. Another big one was Macklemore. Like in high school, Macklemore was playing teeny tiny shows in the Seattle area. And w like me and all my friends would listen to Macklemore, who and he's just making like tiny albums and EPs and singles coming out. And oh my gosh, I still have all of those songs on like my iPod. And it's just funny the stuff that now he is just insanely huge worldwide, and there's a sense of pride that comes with that. So that is the piece where I kind of see, I don't think those people are being gatekeepers by having a sense of pride if you're still sharing and being like, I want you guys to experience this too, because you genuinely love something. But when you take that moment and you're like, oh, well, I saw them 10,000 times, and so like it's mostly tone is how I feel like it comes across. If you say, I've seen these guys 10 times, I'm so excited you're here, is different than saying, oh, I've seen them 10 times. I hope you enjoy your first show. I always get front row seats. Like, I don't know why I'm being such a snot on this one, but it's just something I wanted to talk about. So this is why I'm talking about it. I think the more important thing is just being aware of these things while we do them. I'm guilty of it. I'll do it sometimes. I will say, well, I've been listening to this podcast since 2013. It is 2021 now. Like, that's insane. But it's crazy how somebody can like join in the way we look at that. And if you're somebody who is just doesn't like connecting with the new fans, I can kind of understand that too. Like, it's a deeper level of understanding when you're a really in deep fan of someone or something, and then you're talking to somebody who's just on a different level than you. But just try to be nice. So we got through kind of talking about gatekeeping with the fandom side, and we talked about it with activities and stuff. And then there's the business side. And with this, I just really want to encourage people to try with their business, their creative side, whatever. I don't think that whatever you do, you have to make money from it. You can have a creative endeavor, a creative hobby on your own, and you don't have to make money from it. You can just like enjoy that and have that to yourself. I talked a while ago about owning something completely and the joy that that can bring. And I wanted to kind of mention that there are so many gatekeepers that were previously there that are no longer necessary in the creative field for you to create what you want and to get it out there to other people. With content creation, there is a lot of things that you actually have to have somebody else consume. Content is meant to be consumed, whether that is music, video, books, podcasts. There are so many things out there that are meant to be consumed. And then when you're making something physical, whether that's clothes, art, signs, woodworking, food, like that's meant to be consumed. And then even social media, you know, you're making videos on TikTok, you're making Instagram posts, you're writing blog posts, like you're not writing it for nobody. It's meant to be consumed. So a lot of creative things, whether it's physical or it's content or whatever, it's meant to be consumed by somebody. And not everything that you do has to be consumed by somebody. I think it's very good to have things that are completely your own that nobody's getting. It's just your own stuff. But if you want to take on a creative endeavor and you want people to consume it, there are so many ways now that we can do that and get our product, our creativity out there in ways that weren't able before. So I listened to a podcast recently and they kind of went all behind the scenes of self-publishing a book. And you can self-publish a book now and put it on Amazon and sell it. I would say a vast majority of people get their books from Amazon. That is a The major bookseller is Amazon, whether that is an ebook or an audiobook or a hard book. They're probably getting it from Amazon or Audible, which is owned by Amazon, and you can just do that yourself. That's just kind of insane to me. And then there's so much more. This podcast, I self-produced this podcast. Back in the day, in 2013, you could still, I feel silly saying back in the day, but that's when I started listening to podcasts. So that's why I always say that. And the landscape of podcasts has changed a lot since then. But then there were still people who were self-producing podcasts, but most of them had equipment, a studio, and then the big podcasts, they would probably be under a major network. NPR is a big network still. Podcast One is still a big network. There are still podcast networks, Barstool Sports, big podcast media network, but you don't need a network to make a podcast. Podcast has always kind of been like the underground media, I would say. People have been self-producing that forever. But to be on the radio, you have to be picked up by a radio station. To be on TV, you gotta get picked up by a TV station, by cable, you know. That's a whole nother thing with being hired and producing and TV shows and actors. But you could create a frickin' TV show and put it on YouTube and get money from that. Like, you don't have to be picked up by TV anymore. It just really blows my mind. And I've talked about YouTube a little bit because I just see people making big money producing stuff on YouTube and on podcasts as well. People can make big money, but I see a lot more of the money coming from YouTube. And that's just insane to me that they can just, that's their job. They can create content, then just put it out there, and that's their job. And they don't need anybody's approval of doing that. It's just them. And you could do that too. Like, whatever it is. Blogging. There are free blogging sites. I pay for my website because I like Squarespace better than others, but I've used free websites before. Making a website, it's fun, and you can do it for free. And you can do a blog now on Instagram, really. You don't even need a website. I prefer blogs that have a website, but you can put your writing, your photography on Instagram and start that way. And another big, I would say a giant in this gatekeeper place also is Facebook Marketplace when you're just starting out. And I don't want to get into the legality of things because every state is different, but when you're just starting out, and if you did want to make money selling something, and we'll say it's a physical product, you can do that on Facebook Marketplace now. Definitely be cautious because once you make a certain amount of money, you have to be a real business. But if you just want to try something out, you can share whatever your creative process is, whatever your project is that you want to sell, it's physical. You want to share a picture, you can share that picture on Facebook, on Instagram, wherever, and you can sell it on your own. And it's crazy. Like, that's how you try things. That's how you start out. Like, that's where everyone started out. And the gatekeepers that had previously been there in publishing, in TV, in radio, movies. I just keep going into the content side, but also, you know, having to get in a physical store. Like, we see it on Shark Tank all the time. Like, yes, I got on a QVC or I got in Walmart. But people can have their own website, sell their own shit on their own, and they don't need Walmart. Like, obviously, there are pros to being in a department store, but it's very, very cool to see people just starting out and branching out on their own. So whatever it is in your back pocket, in the back of your mind, like there's something you've been wanting to try, and it is probably easier than you think. You might think like, oh, they've been doing this for so long, I can't do that, or they probably had to get help from all these people or get approval from all these people, and they probably didn't. Whoever this they is that you're looking at, they probably just tried it out. And you know, Google is the best university out there now. It's crazy. You can find everything you need on Google or YouTube. And so I just really encourage people to try something out. And if you're putting these gatekeepers in there before you even try something, just push past it a little farther because there are so many free options or very cheap options for you to get yourself, your stuff, your activity, your product out there, and people can find you. And it's so amazing. It really and truly is. So I hope that, like, if you're interested in starting a podcast and you have any questions, you can always ask me. I just do this on Anchor. It's super easy. I've looked into doing it just without Anchor as well. So I'm kind of looking into that. I've started my own website, done YouTube. It's tough. YouTube is tough, but people do it and they make money and it's awesome. I mean, Casey has sold stuff on the Facebook Marketplace. Like, there are so many things that, like, we do, we try to do, we try it out, and we just have fun with it. And whatever's holding you back, just try to think first if it's, one, a gatekeeper's opinion. If someone's saying, oh, well, they're just new, they're just starting out, they don't know what they're doing, just don't worry about those people, because they're lying to themselves if they say that they were never in your position. And two, if you think a obstacle is in your way, it might be easier than you think. So just push a tiny bit farther and just try it out. And if people laugh at you, if people don't like it, like, who cares? Delete the Instagram account. Delete the post on Facebook Marketplace. Like, delete the YouTube video. I know that social media and screenshots are forever, but nobody does anything without starting out somewhere. So you just gotta try it out. And if you guys are listening and you're not a creative, okay, I'm not gonna say that, because everyone is creative. That's a big, big thing for me. But if it's not something you're interested in being a creative, I also see a lot of people now starting things like a Foodstagram. I have one of those, which is like a food blog only based on Instagram. And then people will do a Bookstagram, which is sharing about their reading. That's only on Instagram. And there are just these niche communities everywhere. And so if there's something in your heart that you're, like, really passionate about, just sharing that and finding your own community is also beneficial. So you don't have to be really a creator to do something. You can also be a curator, which is kind of what people on Bookstagram and Foodstagram do, is kind of share their experiences. But I just really wanted to share about gatekeeping, because I see it having a very negative connotation when we're talking about people talking down to others who are beginning something. But I wanted to say, I understand a sense of pride when you're in on something early. I don't think that's exactly the same thing as gatekeeping. And I also wanted to say, recognizing gatekeeping in the workplace, in business, and seeing, you know, why is that holding me back? Why? And if you're seeing somebody doing that, like, be aware of it. I don't know how to call people out on it yet. I'm just honest. Like, another podcast I listen to says, this is a come with me, not a, shoot, no, I forgot it. Not a watch me podcast. It's a come with me podcast. And I want this to be that as well. Like, I don't know everything. I just like to talk and share my life with you and share my thoughts. So that's why I wanted to share this. This has been in my mind recently a lot, because I've been seeing so many people self-producing their own stuff, and it makes me happy. So hope you enjoyed this little talk about gatekeeping. If you did, definitely share this episode. Share it with a friend, because if you guys want to try something new, let's say you want to go on a hike and then your friend says, no, I don't want to do that. I don't know how, you know, I don't have the right shoes or whatever. I don't know who to ask about doing something. Like, send them this episode and you say, we're gonna do it. I don't care if we're beginners. Everyone's beginners. Let's go. So thank you for listening this week. We'll be back next week, as always. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. That really makes a big difference. And then if you're listening on Spotify, you can follow on there. You guys know all the stuff. But another thing, follow on Instagram at PishPoshPod. And we'll be back next week. Party on. Thank you for listening to this episode of Pish Posh with Lindsay Wilson. I am so glad you joined us. Make sure you're subscribed on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. Then make sure you're following us on Instagram at Pish Posh Pod. Then, if you want even more, you can join us at patreon.com/pishposhpod. There are bonus episodes there and journaling prompts for you to use whenever you want. So check all that out. We'll see you next week. Party on.